Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something super practical and seriously useful in the real world. A smoky warehouse-style DJ intro in Ableton Live 12. Think dark, spacious, tense, and mix-ready. Not a full breakdown. Not a random ambient loop. We're making the kind of intro that lets a DJ blend cleanly, sets the mood, and keeps the low end out of the way so the drop can hit properly. This kind of intro usually lives in the first 16 to 32 bars of a D&B tune. It's the opening statement before the record fully reveals itself. For rollers, neural-leaning tracks, jungle-influenced material, or anything with that warehouse pressure, this is where you establish identity without giving away the whole game. And that matters, because in D&B, the intro is not just atmosphere, it's phrase control, low-end discipline, and tension management. The first decision is simple. Are you building a 16-bar intro or a 32-bar intro? If the tune is direct and club-focused, 16 bars is often enough. If you want a deeper, more atmospheric blend window, 32 bars gives the DJ more room to work. Either way, think in 4-bar chunks. That's the key. A strong D&B intro should evolve in clear steps. Bar 1 to 4 sets the room. Bars 5 to 8 add movement. Bars 9 to 12 add tension. Bars 13 to 16 start pointing toward the transition. If you go longer, the same logic repeats with slight variation. Why this works in D&B is because DJs depend on phrase clarity. Long blends are common, and if your intro changes randomly, it becomes harder to mix. You want the section to feel countable. You want each new phrase to feel like a small step forward, not a reset. Start with the atmosphere. Keep it disciplined. One main atmospheric layer is usually enough to begin with. That could be a texture sample, a processed field recording, a resampled pad, or a noise-based bed. In Ableton, a really solid starting chain is auto-filter, then a little saturator, then echo or a reverb, and finally utility, so you can trim the level and check mono behavior. If the atmosphere feels too clean, add a touch of saturator before the reverb. If it feels too wide and floaty, pull the stereo width back and keep more of it centered. For this kind of intro, you want space with grit, not a glossy pad, not a cinematic wash, more like fog hanging in a concrete room. What to listen for here is whether the atmosphere feels like a place. If you remove the rhythm later, does the texture still suggest a dark D&B record? If it just sounds like generic ambience, it needs more identity. If it feels like a room before the system opens up, you're on the right track. Now add a hinted groove, not a full beat, just a rhythmic suggestion. This could be chopped break fragments, isolated hats, ghost snares, rim clicks, or tiny percussion ticks. Keep it filtered and understated. High pass it if needed around 150 to 250 Hz so it stays out of the way of the incoming kick and sub. The important thing is that the groove should imply momentum, not declare the full drum pattern. If the intro already feels like the drop, you've gone too far. Let the listener sense the engine, but don't show the whole machine yet. Next comes the bass cue, and this is where a lot of intermediate producers overdo it. Don't bring in the full bass line right away. Instead, use one motif, one filtered res fragment, or one low pulse that hints at the track's identity. A simple operator or wave-eatable sound works well here, especially if you process it with auto-filter, saturator, and utility. Keep the real sub controlled. Often the useful zone is more in the 100 to 300 Hz harmonic area, where the bass feels present without fully committing to the bottom. If you do use actual sub notes, keep them sparse and short. You want the intro to feel like it's breathing in before the drop, not already flexing the full phrase. Then shape the movement with automation. This is where the intro starts to feel alive. Automate filter cutoff, reverb send, delay feedback, and maybe a subtle volume move or two. Small changes are enough. In D&B, the arrangement already moves fast, so you do not need giant cinematic ramps to create tension. A filter opening over 4 or 8 bars, a little extra delay feedback before a transition, or a slight rise in reverb send before a phrase change can do a lot. The goal is direction. Every 4 bars should feel like it turns the screw a little tighter. What to listen for is whether the intro is getting more intense without just getting louder. If the whole mix simply expands and becomes messy, the automation is probably too deep. In that case, reduce the amount of movement and let the arrangement do more of the work. Now make the intro DJ-friendly. That means leading space in the first 4 to 8 bars so another track can blend in cleanly. Avoid putting your loudest transient or your most obvious bass hit right at the start unless you specifically want a hard opening. A strong structure could look like this: atmosphere and light percussion first, then a slightly more defined rhythm, then the bass cue, then a transition moment, and only then the first real drum statement. This is why DJ utility matters so much. If the intro is too full, the drop loses contrast and the DJ has less room to mix. If the intro is too busy, it stops being a mixing tool and starts acting like a mini drop. So keep the top end controlled, keep the low end disciplined, and let the phrases breathe. A really useful habit is to check the intro against the actual drop context. Bring in the main drum or bass section, even if it's just a test loop, and ask yourself whether the intro leaves enough space. Does the bass cue fight the main sub? Does the filtered percussion still make sense once the full break arrives? Does the intro crowd the snare zone or leave it clean? That check is huge. What sounds good solo can clash hard in context. If your drop has a strong snare in the 2 and 4 zone, don't saturate that area too much in the intro. If the drop sub lives around 45 to 60 HC, keep the intro's low movement lighter and more harmonic. That way the handoff feels powerful instead of blurred. For the transition into the drop, use one decisive cue, just one or two. A reverse cymbal, a noise lift, a short impact, a tape stop moment, or a chopped metallic stab can all work. You can throw the last hit into echo or a reverb, but keep it short and controlled. If the effect tail is too long, it will smear the first kick and snare of the drop. And here's a good rule: if the intro already has enough character, stop adding things. Dark DNB doesn't need endless layers to feel heavy. Often one strong atmosphere, one rhythmic hint, one bass suggestion, and one transition hit is all you need. That's enough if the phrase shape is clear and the mix is clean. Now let's talk about mix discipline. Use utility to check width, and keep any true low-end information centered. Use EQ8 to high-pass atmospheres around 120 to 250 HE depending on the source. If the intro feels cloudy, carve a bit around 250 to 500 HC. If it gets harsh or brittle, tame the 2 to 5K HC range. And if there's unnecessary hiss or sparkle, roll some top end off above 10 to 14K HE. The low end should feel controlled, not absent. The intro can be slightly restrained on its own and still feel huge in context. That's actually the goal. If it already sounds massive by itself, then your drop has nowhere to go. If you're making a 32-bar intro, let the second half evolve. Add a new ghost rhythm, open the filter a little more, bring in a metallic texture, or create a small fill before the drop. Just don't change everything at once. Each phrase should do one job. Add a layer, remove a layer, open a filter, or create a cue. That's enough. What to listen for at the stage is whether the section still feels countable as it gets more dramatic. The DJ should feel the intro turning the corner, not drifting into a different track. That balance between tension and usability is the sweet spot. One more bonus tip: resample once the intro starts working. Print the atmosphere and movement to audio, then chop or reverse little pieces for fills. This often gives you a more believable warehouse feel than endlessly automating 5 devices. It also helps the intro feel like it belongs to a real physical space rather than a polished preset chain. Another strong habit is to test in mono at low volume. If the intro disappears, the core idea may be too dependent on width or shimmer. Keep the main identity readable in mono, especially the bass-related layers and the central rhythm hint. So let's bring it all together. A great echo chamber-style DJ intro in Ableton Live 12 is built on controlled atmosphere, hinted rhythm, restrained bass identity, and clear phrase design. Build in 4-bar blocks. Keep the low end disciplined. Use automation to create tension without clutter. Leave enough space for the DJ to mix, and make sure the intro leads naturally into the drop instead of trying to steal the spotlight. If it feels like fog drifting through a warehouse before the system opens up, you've got it. Dark, countable, spacious, and ready for the drop. That's the win. Now I want you to try the 15-minute practice. Build a 16-bar intro using only stock Ableton devices, with one atmosphere, one rhythmic hint, one bass cue, and one transition effect. Keep it phrase-based. Keep it clean. Then test it in mono, check the handoff into your drop, and ask yourself one simple question. Does this feel like a record a DJ can actually use? Do that, and you're not just making ambience. You're building a proper DNB intro blueprint.